The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Period of feeling weary and dissatisfied, a spell of tedium or boredom.
Ennui. O-N-W-E-I, ennui.
Ennui is spelled E-N-N-U-I.
Oh, man, the pressure. 8 to 15 years old, 87th time the Scripps Howard people have put this on in Washington, D.C., but hey, if you win the National Spelling Bee, is it worth the stress? You get $30,000 and a cash prize, another $2,500 bond, and some more other cash prizes as well. Any good spellers out there? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's where we start. I think it's pretty cool that these kids study hard. They like to spell in an era where we have spell check and half of us can't spell. I'm a sounded out speller. Let me see. Sound that out, because I learned to sound it out when I was a kid. We had phonetics, and phonetics made all the difference in the world for me. So here's another slice of that spelling bee. Take a listen.
Romaji. R-O-M-A-J-I. Romaji.
Correct.
Woohoo! That has to feel when it's correct. Hey, they're doing the preliminary rounds. It goes through the end of the week, and then someone is crowned champion. There's like 287 kids that are part of this that are invited. They have to go through the rounds in different areas and make it all the way to Washington, D.C. Very, very cool. Maya Angelou, who was a poet, knew a lot about words, wrote many books, and had an interesting life. Certainly was an influence in many people's lives. She was inspirational, and I think a lot of that has to do with her words. So the legendary author is dead at the age of 86. She apparently was feeling not too well. She was having a few heart problems and was a little bit weak. She was at her home in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, according to her agent, and she had these problems that were starting to rack her body a little bit, the frailness of it, and she passed away. And she wrote she wrote beautiful poetry, I think, but in her very, very full life, she penned several books. She was nominated for a Tony. She delivered a poem at a presidential inauguration. In 2010, President Obama named her a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the country's highest civilian honor. And she will be missed at the age of 86, Maya Angelou. Inspirational, to be sure. There were so many things that you could quote her on. She was one of the most quotable people that I can think of. And it's funny. She wrote a poem called A Caged Bird that a lot of people refer to and talk about. And here's how it goes. A free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends and clips his wings in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped, his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. And again, that was just one of her poems. She was also quoted for many, many other things. Speaking of being quoted, Edward Snowden was quotable in his interview on NBC News with anchor Brian Williams. The NSA leaker, who is leaking links, said he sees himself as a patriot and he feels as though that there are some things worth dying for. The former National Security Agency contractor said he stands by his decision to leak classified National Security Agency documents that revealed extensive global U.S. government surveillance programs. He said in the interview that things are worth dying for, some of them, and I think the country is one of them. The interview was his first with a U.S. television network since he left Hawaii for Hong Kong a year ago and then ended up in Russia. Williams interviewed him in Moscow last week. Snowden has been living there under asylum, and that asylum is up, the temporary asylum, in August. And he says if he doesn't have any other opportunity, he will apply for asylum again. But if he could go anywhere in the world, the place he would go would be home. Snowden told the anchor that he attempted to travel to Latin America to get asylum after leaving Hong Kong, but was left stranded in Moscow after the U.S. revoked his passport. So the Kremlin granted him temporary asylum. He says that he has not been telling the Russians anything and does not have any kind of contact with Putin or the Russian government. In response to Snowden speaking out and talking about various things and why he did what he did, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, said that he's a coward, he's a traitor, he's betrayed his country. If he wants to come home to face the music, he can do so. And he also went on to say, patriots don't go to Russia. He said that he needs to man up. Snowden says from day one that he was only doing this to serve his country. It's a pretty lengthy interview, and he really attacked his critics for exploiting September 11th, the trauma of that back in 2001, the terrorist attacks, to justify the surveillance programs that he exposed, because you know that the intelligence people defend the programs as essential in the effort to stop terrorism. And he said, I've never told anybody this, no journalist, but I was on Fort Meade on September 11th. I was right outside the NSA, so I remember. I remember the tension of the day. I remember hearing on the radio the planes hitting, and I remember thinking my grandfather, who worked for the FBI at the time, was in the Pentagon when the plane hit it. He said, I take the threat of terrorism seriously, and I think we all do. He also talked about the assertions that have been made that he was only a low-level tech support guy for the intelligence community. He reiterated that he was trained as a spy and worked undercover for both the NSA and the Central Intelligence Agency. He also rejected the assertion that he is being controlled by Russian intelligence officials. As I mentioned already, he said he had no relationship with the Russian government at all. Very, very interesting. Any chance that he'll come back home? I don't think so. He said he wouldn't make a deal with the U.S. government, so there you go. Stay with us. We're booted to the other side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Full on at work in Washington, D.C. But what I want to know is, where is my money going? Where is your money going? And is it really just all a ruse? One of our favorite people to have on this show is Dan Kish from the Institute for Energy Research. And this is the time when they're looking for, you know, basically those breaks, those tax breaks, these companies where they can save big bucks. But what are we really propping up and what are we really supporting here? Dan, thanks as always for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about one of the billionaires that we hear a lot about, Tom Steyer. What's the deal with the kind of money he's able to make with these breaks for, you know, green energy company kind of breaks, where maybe this isn't really what it seems to be?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's like the modern equivalent of the robber barons of old, you know, except that they actually made it by producing something that people wanted to buy, and they tried to monopolize things. Here, the new deal, and he and many of the people that share his views about green energy, interestingly made his money in the ways he say we shouldn't be doing it in the United States. For example, his company made his vast fortune, and I mean this guy's a billionaire well over, by operating a hedge fund. He started this hedge fund, and what they did is they invested in coal mines in Australia and Indonesia. In fact, his company is responsible for quadrupling the output of coal in Indonesia, which is right by China, which has now made Indonesia into the number one coal exporting country in the world, believe it or not.
Mm.
And so after making all that money, he's turned to Washington, D.C. And the way you make your money in Washington, D.C. is getting politicians to put the stamp of approval on the type of energy that you want to get people to buy, and the government, it turns out, will make people buy it. They can pass laws and pass regulations that force people to buy your product, whether they want to or not. And that's the new game in town in Washington. Everything emanates from Washington, and if you want to get rich and get rich quick, the best way to do it is to come to Washington and find somebody who likes what you or what it is you do or the type of energy you promise that you're going to produce, and the money will open and flow. And in many cases, I'm afraid to say, money that we borrow from the Chinese, and a lot of it flows right down the toilet.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, I totally agree with you, and you know, so here's the thing. If you want to get rich and if you come up with a green idea and you know that you could get the right kind of breaks for it, that's what happens. And unfortunately, as I said at the top, it's your money and my money that dump into this. And I know there are many other examples of it. Do you have any more for us that we can chew on?
Sure. Just some of the ones that people have heard about. Everybody's heard about Solyndra, right? I mean, the government gave them a $529 million loan to make solar products, which then folded in 2011, 2 years later, and everyone lost their jobs. The company went belly up. Their fancy new plant was sold for pennies on the dollar to somebody else who probably is going to turn around and use it to make something that the government will then subsidize. We've got Beacon Power, which got a $43 million loan and another $29 million from Pennsylvania. They went belly up in 2011 and filed for bankruptcy. We didn't get anything in return. Evergreen Solar in Massachusetts got $58 million from that state. And they went ahead and closed their plant in Massachusetts and moved what was left to open a factory in China. And, you know, this is bipartisan. It's been going on for a while. The Bush administration back in 2007 to try to push biofuels, cellulosic ethanol, which no one has been able to make commercially. But back in 2007, they gave them $76 million, and later they got another $80 million. In 2011, they... after receiving some more money from the Obama administration, they closed their refinery without producing a single drop of fuel. And the fellow who's behind that is another hedge fund operator by the name of Vinod Khosla, who's been involved in a lot of these things and is always constantly running around Washington with his hand out asking for money for the next great invention that apparently can't make it in the free market and needs Washington lawyers and politicians to figure out what engineers and consumers should be figuring out without that money. So, and I could go on. Aminex, Enerone, battery makers, A123 systems, which got a half of or a quarter of $1 billion plus from the feds and went ahead and went bankrupt and then sold the name and the company to China, where they're now called A246. I guess maybe the Chinese are going to sell their batteries back to us. Fisker Automotive, $529 million in a plant that GM spun off and gave them in Delaware. They couldn't make it. Is that enough?
Wow. Boy, that list is crazy. And I know that this audience, that they're just going to eat this up because they, you know, we want to know. We want to know the companies. And some of them, like you said, are a lot of the stories we know, some of the bigger companies. And you mentioned Solyndra at the top. And here's the thing. That's guaranteed loan. I mean, so that's guaranteed. You can just walk away from this. Didn't they have like some incredible building and everything else that went along with the trappings?
Yeah, they built, you know, the Taj Mahal of buildings out in California with all that money. And I mean, to look at it, you'd say, wow, this is a going concern. And of course, there was nothing in it. They were using one line of the many that this building could house. It was, according to the reports, everything they bought was a Cadillac of everything, you know, because it's not their money, Kate.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you know, we all know small business people. Gee, they do their own books. They're working extra hours. Their truck for delivery is not a new truck. These people go out. They've got a government loan. They've got Uncle Sam watching over their shoulder. They got a friend in Washington, a lobbyist to boot. And that's how you make a bunch of money now. Now, had they hit it, rich, of course, they had to pay it back and all the rest, but it just so happens that they're all engaged in these activities that just aren't ready for prime time. We'd love this if the honey flowed out of these wonderful plants and all of this stuff worked, but if it did, they wouldn't be coming to Washington with their hands out, would they? I mean,
no,
that's not how Henry Ford made automobiles. It's not how Thomas Edison made electricity. It's not how any of the things that were success stories in America ever got started by a government handout where they couldn't make it in the private sector. It's just that simple. I mean, all we need is common sense. There doesn't seem to be any of that back here.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the thing. What can we do about it? I mean, you're obviously doing something. You're pointing it out. You see that. You know, you write about it, you get it out there, you talk to media. But beyond that, what else can people do? I guess write to Congress folks and senators and push those kind of buttons, right?
Well, you know, obviously we can always do that, but we can also just sharpen our... I mean, a lot of times we get lulled into complacency by the fancy words coming out of these politicians and some of these people. And you know, you have to ask yourself, well, if it's so great, why isn't it happening in the real world? I mean, the energy business is the largest industry in the world. Without it, we couldn't feed 7 billion people. We couldn't pump the water necessary. We couldn't heat our homes. We couldn't do this. And it's international. It's around the world. So you have to ask yourself, you know, with all that money to be made by coming out with a better mousetrap that allows us, that makes it easier on consumers, which obviously is the number one test and ought to be. I mean, we ought to have energy as cheaply as possible so we could use more of it to turn more wheels and get this country back out on its feet. But if it's coming from the government, why is it that the government is better able to pick these things than we are and that consumers are? They don't, you know, if the government doesn't give Apple a bunch of money to come up with the next iPad, they come up with a product, people compare it to the other ones and go out and buy it. And that's the way it works. And that's why those things are getting cheaper, whereas with the government getting more and more involved in our energy, I don't know if you've noticed it, but energy prices are going up. So wherever the government goes, the price goes up, the quality goes down, and wherever consumers lead by picking the most victorious product, the one that makes sense for them and their neighbors and the rest, whether it's energy or iPads or phones or whatever it may be, that's who wins. And they don't need handouts from Washington and politicians telling us that they know better than us about what the next great thing is, because I have to tell you, I know a lot of these people. They don't know what the best. They'd be in another business if they knew what the best thing was, right?
Well said. Senior VP of the Institute for Energy Research, Dan Kish. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate. Keep the faith.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your night.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Americans have always been ready to defend, to serve, and to honor those who defended and are defending all of us. So this month, the Freeze-Dry Guy honors and serves Americans with our meat, rice, and potato sale. Our unit includes four number 10 cans of quality Mountain House cooked diced beef, ground beef, diced chicken, white rice, and two cans of FDG dehydrated diced potatoes. 158 servings per case unit. And during the Freeze-Dry Guy's meat, rice, and potato sale, get one case for only $179, two cases for only $355, or get three cases for only $515, and all come with lots of valuable freebies. For details, click freezedryguy.com and hurry. Sale ends soon. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Plus, free shipping to the lower 48 states from the Freeze-Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Anybody who's been in the intelligence community for almost a decade, as I have been, is really shocked by the specific types of general operations when they're justified. What's more shocking for anybody is not the dirtiness of the business. It's the dirtiness of the targeting. It's the dirtiness of the way these things are being used. It's the lack of respect for the public because the lack of respect for the intrusiveness of surveillance.
That's Ed Snowden. He spoke to Brian Williams, NBC anchor, in a Moscow hotel. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We continue down that road. He said there's no question he'd like to go home. If he could go anywhere in the world, that place would be home. But he doesn't want to make a deal. August 1st, his temporary asylum runs out. And he said he'll reapply if it looks as though, as I mentioned before, that he's still living in limbo, which I would assume means he's not going back to the United States, which I don't believe he's coming back to the United States unless he wants to get thrown into prison. So what about Putin and Russia? Here's what he had to say.
So I have no relationship with the Russian government at all. I've never met the Russian president. I'm not supported by the Russian government. I'm not taking money from the Russian government. I'm not a spy.
All right. So as much as that was made out to be that he was a spy, he's saying he's not a spy. And so he had nothing to do with any kind of conversation with Putin. And I said this before, what's in it for Putin? I guess just to poke the U.S. in the face, and especially to taunt the president for certain. Snowden, mentioned before that it's no secret that the U.S. tends to get more and better intelligence out of computers than they do out of people. And he says he was trained as a spy in a sort of traditional sense of the word, that he lived and worked undercover overseas, pretending to work in a job that I'm not, and even being assigned a name that was not mine. So it's interesting, as he went down the path and talked more about himself and how he got into that position and all that kind of stuff. So he says he was a spy, not a low-level contract employee, as he had been portrayed pretty much throughout this whole thing by the president, by Congress, by media, by everybody. He spoke for several hours to Brian Williams in Moscow. This was last week. And just this hour, an hour of the interview was aired in primetime on Wednesday. Some of it was shown the day before, a little bit of it on NBC Nightly News. That's what you're hearing. And he sums it all up when, you know, constantly people are trying to label him, and we've certainly done that here. Is he a traitor? Is he a hero? Is he a patriot? Is he a believer? Is he a protector of the Constitution? Is he somebody who stabbed the United States in the back? And here's what he had to say.
Do you see yourself as a patriot?
I do. You know, I think patriot is a word that's thrown around so much that it can be devalued nowadays. But being a patriot doesn't mean prioritizing service to government above all else. Being a patriot means knowing when to protect your country, knowing when to protect your constitution, knowing when to protect your countrymen from the violations of and encroachments of adversaries. And those adversaries don't have to be foreign countries. They can be bad policies. They can be officials who, you know, need a little bit more accountability. They can be mistakes of government and simple overreach and things that should never have been tried or that went wrong.
All right, so there he's kind of defending what he did. It's the whole overreach thing, and which would be why he did what he did, is what he's ultimately saying. He defended his experience and what he's being labeled as. He talked about the fact that he wanted to come back to the United States, and he also talked about the fact that he had a much different role prior to what he was just doing for the NSA, which is interesting. And he has some fans, but he certainly has some that aren't, like Congressman Mike Rogers from Michigan, who's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He says Snowden is overinflating his importance as well as his access to the programs that he describes that the NSA would allow him to do. They have confirmed that the Defense Intelligence Agency, that Snowden was, you know, from the Defense Intelligence Agency, that Snowden was a guest speaker at three conferences on military cybersecurity, including one in Japan, on the Chinese cyber threat. Now, if you remember, this just happened as this story continues, where there is still a mountain of information that has not been released. And Glenn Greenwald, who's the former Guardian newspaper journalist who helped reveal the NSA's secret phone and internet surveillance programs, and the identity of Ed Snowden, says he's going to publish a list of U.S. citizens who were targeted by the government. He just announced that a couple of days ago, and he's promoting a book, No Place to Hide, Edward Snowden, the NSA, and the U.S. Surveillance State. The list, he says, will be the biggest revelation of the 2 million classified files Snowden obtained. How about that? And Greenwald said he wants to save the best for last. And he said the last one is the one where the sky is all covered in multicolored hues, comparing it to a fireworks show, that this is it. This is the spectacular end. And he's going to pull the lid off the domestic targets and talk about the fundamentals of how the surveillance program was operating, give us more specifics into that than we've ever heard before, supposedly. But I think the big thing is, who are the specific targets? Political critics, activists, regular people, who are they? What are the calculations that go into choosing the targets? What's done with the surveillance that's conducted? All those kind of questions, which Greenwald insinuates that he is going to answer in that new book, which either is going to be a runaway bestseller because everybody wants to read it, or he'll get his 15 minutes of fame, I suppose. He said, for Greenwald, he speaks to Snowden every day, and he says that he is by far the person most at peace and fulfilled as a human being of anyone he's ever met. That's interesting, because in the interview with Brian Williams, I would say he seemed to be truthful in what he believes and what he's saying, but he definitely seems to me like a guy, he might be at peace, I guess, but he seems like a guy who wants to come back to the United States. You know, he's living in Russia. He's isolated from what he normally would be doing in his home country. Can you imagine if you've lived outside of the United States? Listen, if you served in any capacity or deployed overseas, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Or if you lived overseas, there are interesting, wonderful things to explore when you first land there, right? Now, it's, of course, different in his situation, but the fact that you couldn't go back would be so brutal. And he can't go back because if he goes back, he's arrested. He'd have to go through a trial. The Secretary of State, John Kerry, says why he's a coward. Why doesn't he come back? Let's have him come back. Let's deal with this. And he's not the only one who thinks that. Many of you had thoughts on Snowden, and you sent it to me, and we're going to check the mailbag. Coming up in our next segment, if you want to throw in a quick call, you can, 855-266-5283, as to whether or not Ed Snowden, who says, I'm a patriot, really is a patriot. With labels, in some ways, he's hard to describe, because now there's more information about his background. As I said in a previous show, it makes it a little bit different. And if he does come back, he would have to go through the court system. He's not going to get amnesty. So I don't believe there's any way that he comes back. I don't think he's going to do that, knowing that that's what the end is. The end is if you come back, then you're going to have to answer for the stuff that you stole that was classified, which means they would, I think he would really have the book thrown at him. He knows that. And Secretary of State Kerry says he's a fugitive. And that's the bottom line. So if he wants to, he kept using the word man up. If he wants to man up, then he can come back. He can come home. And Kerry was asked about Snowden in an interview in the wake of this interview with him. And he said he never wanted to be holed up in Russia, was forced to go there because Washington revoked the passport. And Kerry said, well, for a supposedly smart guy, that's a pretty dumb answer. He said if he wants to come back to the United States, we'll have him on a flight today. He'll have to stand up in the United States and make his case to the American people. Any chance that happens, I say no way. Hang with us. We're going to the mailbag next. Plus, were you ever good at spelling? Think about it for a minute, and I'll tell you why on the flip side.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Soliloquy. S-O-L-I-L-O-Q-U-Y. Soliloquy.
Correct.
I don't know. Were you any good at spelling? I love this whole spelling bee thing that happens in Washington. It just brings me back to my days in grammar school when we folded the paper over and we had one side where we had the words and they were so confident in us that the other side was blank. So they automatically, I think, planted in our heads, you're going to get some words wrong and you're going to write the correct spelling on the other side. Uh-oh. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, and we're spelling our way through the final turn here on America Tonight. So the pressure's on. This is the 87th time they've done it. 281 students, their ages 8 to 15, they compete in these preliminary rounds. They go through it all the way through the week. It's got to be very stressful for them. Because why? Because they study so long and so hard for this. And to get to the point where you are on the big stage in D.C., think of all that goes into that. Man, it is tough. Soliloquy. Nathan, I have to ask you this. Could you spell soliloquy?
Maybe.
Were you a good speller?
I do remember being, let's see, that was, third grade, I spelled very, very incorrectly. But I gotta say my prowess as correcting people on Facebook about their spelling has, like, I'm magnified my grammar skills by a million.
Well, here's what's happened. We have spell check now. So I think into the future, a lot of people are going to be poor spellers because they don't write notes and they just rely on the computer.
Oh, I absolutely believe, yes, we have changed as a society as far as the way full words need to be written out. We are just so, it's like a picture. We go by moving pictures now.
Absolutely. That's what it is. It's moving pictures. Well said. So we'll let you hear more of the spelling bee as we move along. But soliloquy, very nice. Very nice. And I love these younger kids, just sticking it out with the older kids. We'll see who ultimately who ends up hoisting the trophy the 87th time that they've done this spelling bee. And it gets more interesting to me every single time I see those kids on the stage trying to belt out those words. They pause for a second, then boom, ultimately just go for it. We're going to go for it, too, meaning that so many of you sent us emails. I didn't have to really stand back and hard any of the spelling. Pretty much this audience is pretty decent at that. Maybe you spell check and then you use common sense and go back and read it. But without further ado, let's go and check.
You have mail, mistress.
Hello. Thank you very much. Justin says, Kate, I don't know about this whole Snowden thing. Here's my problem. It is good in a way that he exposed what was going on at the NSA, because there's massive overreach. There's no doubt about that. But I still think we can't call him a patriot. He dumped national secrets because they overreached and it was really, really bad. I get it. But at the same time, really, is that what you do? He couldn't have gone to somebody. He couldn't have done something else versus ratting out the good old USA and causing some problems for many of our departments. While we might snicker in one sense, it certainly isn't good in another. Well, here's the thing. You know, the natural comment to say is, guess what? Everybody's spying on everybody, and gee, we know it. So, sure, but there were some uncomfortable things that came out that didn't have to come out. And, yeah, you know, this is, It is really strange to try to put a stamp or label or whatever you want to call it on Snowden. Because I have a hard time saying he's a patriot, too. I mean, I'm all about the Constitution. And as I listen to him in the interview talk about his motivations and all that kind of stuff, I think he did have certain motivations that led him to do that. But I don't, you know, really think they were all pure either, to be honest. And what ultimately he did is, by the letter of the law, let's face it, the law doesn't have emotion. He did sign a confidentiality deal, and he certainly stole classified documents. But you can look at the other side and say, what about the Pentagon Papers? What about in history when somebody's come forward and railed against absolute power? Look what's happened. So I get it. But if you ask me yay or nay, here's what I say. What if he were to have a jury trial? Maybe we take the chances that way, but that's not how it would go, I don't think. And he's not coming back for that. There's no way. Let's see what the ratings are. I want to see how much people, the television ratings, that care about Snowden. Okay, we got one more about Snowden. Let's go to that. This one from Eric, and Eric says, Katie Kate, love the show. Had a chance to listen a lot lately. My schedule has switched at work. I promise I'm going to call you soon, but I just get so hooked into what you're saying. I like to listen, frankly. With Snowden, I think he's a traitor from the word go. Listen, I served in the military a couple of different times. Did I ever see anything that I thought weren't right? Yes. Did I sign up to follow orders and to do what I'm supposed to do? Yes. Did I see things that were that atrocious that I felt I had to speak up? No. But on the other hand, he stole classified documents. Stealing is stealing. Couldn't he have gone to a supervisor, said something, and gone from there? I'm just saying. All right, so that's two that say, couldn't he have gone to somebody and just outed it that way and moved on? I mean, here's the thing. You know, Keith Alexander, General Keith Alexander, couldn't have been more uncomfortable by the revelations. I mean, look, there was an overreach. We know it. Who cares about the nonsense that's happening in everyday houses? And it is creepy if that's what's happening. But on the other hand, do we want no protection? No. There's got to be an area somewhere in between. Dan in Cross Plains, Texas. Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Bo?
Excellent. Thanks.
Okay. I want to give you a little different idea here about Snowden. I've thought about this a great deal. And ever since the first breakthrough when he came out with this information, and we would not have known a great deal of this information about the government spying on us and using the apparatus that the government has to, shall we say, pry into our personal lives. Now, let me give you a little quickie here. The Nazis were putting Jews in concentration camps, as well as other people that protested against the government, and burning them up in an oven to get rid of them, just because they just were fodder that they just didn't want as human beings on the face of the earth. But even though the Nazis knew that what they were doing was wrong, they couldn't protest. They were just following orders. And the few that did try to tell the world what was happening were themselves put to death or persecuted beyond the even mightiest thought that we can have about the inequities of the government, the big strong arm coming down on you.
Right.
And this is what he has revealed to the entire United States. And I think that the Congress of the United States should give him immunity, bring him back to the United States and have a congressional hearing on all the information that Snowden has and make this all public, because this is our public and we are the ones that they're investigating, and we are not enemies of the state.
We're not. Absolutely. That's why Greenwald's stuff will be interesting to see, because he says he's going to reveal all the names of all the people that were being spied on, and it's not necessarily all political type people. And so there is absolutely something, there is absolutely something to that. You know, here's the thing, Dan, you and I both know, unfortunately, they're not going to do that in Congress. They're not touching this hot potato. But is Dan right? I mean, is the thing to do is just give him the full-on immunity and drill him for every ounce of information and brand him as, you know, this whistleblower. But here's the thing. As that leaves my lips, from everything I know, from every source at the Pentagon, it's not happening. They're still enraged. And he is right. Dan's right. Half of what we learned, there was some of that we knew, but a lot of it, the bulk of it, we wouldn't have known if he hadn't revealed it. I still have a hard time with Patriot, though. Really do. I don't know about you. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.